alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, kind of shared a message about Solomon, King Solomon, and what the Lord was declaring through him to the people about the temple and the things they need to get back to. And then last week, I shared a message about what it really means to be sanctified and consecrated before the Lord. And if you weren't here for either one, I really want to encourage you to go back and listen to them, especially last week's message on sanctification. Because this kind of also leads into today's message. It's on our website if you weren't here last week. I want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. So now something's happened. Solomon has finally built the temple that is meant to house the presence of the Lord, where God's people are supposed to go to worship, right? He's finally built it. David had the idea, but God said, no, there's too much blood on your hands. I want your son to build this temple. So Solomon finally has it done. And now they're dedicating it. And let's see what happens. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all of the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast of the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also, King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke, "The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever." This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. When I envision the presence of God so heavy that his weight dropped the priests to their knees, that they could not minister. And one of the legacies of this church, and this is even before we knew what we were doing, in terms of fostering the Holy Spirit. This is one of the first times God showed up here in such a powerful way. And we just thank His Spirit that He drew us to just naturally flow, because we didn't know what we were doing. But it was on a Wednesday night when there was about 12 or 13 of us worshiping here. And before the first song was even done, the presence of God was so heavy. And there was a vision of a stream that flooded right here, this aisle. And the vision actually we got was Sunday morning before, that we saw a waterfall come down from the altar of God right here where I'm standing right now, and that it flowed. And the Holy Spirit said, you know, take off your shoes and come and stand in my river. And some of us did, because He was ministering to us. But we didn't know really what to do. But Wednesday night, that same thing, God in His goodness and grace, He redeemed what many of us missed out on Sunday morning. And it happened again Wednesday night. And this time the entire congregation, the 12, 13 of us that were here, just came and we sat right here in the aisle. We didn't have to sing anymore. There was no preaching. There was no prayer. But the presence of God came. And next thing you know, it was an hour, hour and a half later. And many had testimony of literally being physically touched by Jesus Himself. And some were ministered in other ways. And I think about that when I think about this passage. But there are some things God wants to do. Now, 2 weeks ago when I shared about this temple, see, I equated with the fact that this is the temple that they had then. This is what God needed to do then. But with the presence of the New Testament in Christ, our temple now, the temple is this, right? So when Solomon says, I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell forever, in verse 13, we can say now, this place that has been built, and again, listen to that from 2 weeks ago if you're a little confused right now. But this place that has been built for Him, that is meant for Him to dwell forever, is this temple right here. And in the New Testament, who are the priests of God? We are. We are all called His priests, and He is our high priest. In the New Old Testament, in here, it was the priest. See, if we look at this story, Solomon gathered the people. They came together. They came together to dedicate this temple, but they were doing more than that. They were sanctifying themselves and consecrating themselves. And for those that missed, simply put, consecration is something we do. We say, Lord, I need to get myself right with You. There's something in my life missing. And then He sanctifies us with His holy fire. Right? So they were coming together. Solomon brought all the people together. They might have thought they were there for a party to dedicate the temple. But when they got there, they were in for more, because God showed up and they needed to be sanctified. They needed to consecrate themselves. Yes, there was a feast taking place, but within the feast, there were sacrifices. What do we read here? There were so many sacrifices that they could not keep track of how many animals were being sacrificed, because they were consecrating themselves. They were making atonement for their sins, right? That's what consecration is. I make the sacrifice, Christ sends His fire to sanctify and burn that sacrifice. So they were being sanctified, made pure. But this is the beautiful thing. They brought the ark into this place. And you know, the ark in the Old Testament represents the presence of God. In the Old Testament, only one group of people can touch the ark and carry the ark. There were the priests. We read throughout the Old Testament that when somebody else tried to touch it, not too many good things happened to them, because they were not sanctified to hold the ark, to carry his presence in that manner. But see, this temple, you and I here today, in Christ Jesus, we are sanctified to host his presence. We are sanctified to carry his presence as the priests carried the ark. See, it was the priests and the Levites that brought up everything, we read, into the temple. They brought it in. And the people were outside. They were not allowed into that Holy of Holies, into the inner courts, to where his presence was there. But see, when that veil torn in Christ Jesus, something awesome happened, right? There was no longer a separation between, oh, only the special few can enter and carry and host his presence. When that veil torn from top bottom, like God himself tore it up, he's saying, I'm breaking through to every single one of you to carry my presence, to host what I have to offer. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. So he's preparing us for something awesome when it comes to his presence. Not that every time we gather shouldn't be the result of Pentecost Sunday. The beautiful thing about what God's doing in this body is that every time we gather, we see signs, wonders, miracles, healings taking place. We see demons shaking at the name of Jesus because we are a group of worshipers. We're seeing that. We don't have to wait till a designated Sunday. But God wants to break through. That's his heart's desire. Everyone gathered together. They made those sacrifices to make sure they were positioned at the right place for God to do what he wants to do. And then the priest showed up and they placed the ark inside that special place where it needed to be. Where at that time, that place where only the priests can go. The beautiful thing now is we can all go in there. But what happens when you go in there? See, back then, when the high priest, some of you know this, went into the Holy of Holies, the compartment before that, you had a group of people waiting, holding onto a rope that was wrapped around the high priest's waist that had bells on, that he would go. Because if he wasn't sanctified appropriately, he would be struck down dead. And they would have to drag his carcass, so to speak, out. So they knew the bells. When the bells stopped shaking, something not so good happened. But see, we don't have any bells or rope around us anymore, right? Because when we go into that Holy of Holies, we are welcomed there. And the sound that you hear, we don't need to hear the sound of bells because you hear the sound of worship. What does Scripture say about entering his presence? We enter his gates, his presence. Jesus said, I am the door. Same word for gate. Enter the door, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving in our hearts. And we enter his courts with? Praise. So it is worship that brings us into there, not the bells anymore. It's not what he hears, not what we hear. If you're hearing bells, that's just, you know, the angels playing their beautiful bells and harps in harmony with what God is doing. But it is the sound of praise, the hearts rising before the king. So now, what happens here? The priests bring in the ark. But watch, I want to read you from 2 Chronicles 5:11-14. This is not on PowerPoint, because this explains what took place when the priests entered that place with the ark. Listen to what happens. That caused them to just walk out and go, oh my goodness, thank you, and just rest and be weighted down with the glorious presence of God. Beginning verse 11, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place, most holy place, all the priests were present, had what? Sanctified themselves without keeping to their division. In other words, there were no more difference, because there's two types of priests in the Old Testament. There's priests who minister to God, and there's priests who minister to the people, and then there's the high priest. So you had the priests that minister to the needs of the people, priests who work the altar of God and minister to God himself, and the high priest. But you know what? There was unity here. There was no more division. The fact that the priests all, as one, were in one accord, went and sanctified themselves. Nobody thought less or higher of themselves. They all said, man, we just need to go and be pure before God. And they all went into that holy place to do this. And the Levites who were, listen to this, the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, they were choir directors, they were worship leaders, Old Testament worship leaders here, and musicians with their sons and their brethren stood at the east of the altar, clothed in white linen, symbolic of being purified, us being purified by the blood of Jesus, having what? Cymbals, bass drum, clashing cymbals, stringed instruments, electric guitars, acoustic guitars, harpsichord, pianos, distortion boxes. They were there worshiping with instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding trumpets. The orchestra was blasting. Who symbolically plays the trumpet? We hear in Scripture. Angels. Angels, even on the ark itself. You know, there's statues of the cherubim playing the trumpet. This is symbolic of heaven and earth coming together as one. The presence of God showing up here on earth and blowing the people away, blasting them with the presence of God in a way that only Abraham knew. I mean, not Abraham, Moses, when he went up to the mountain and he came back, boom, lit up. You know, he looked like a light bright, he was glowing. So the presence of God was overwhelming. And the singers were as one to make what? One sound. This is all in 2 Chronicles 5:11-14. One sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. So his presence filled where they were first. So that the priests could not continue, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So they were overwhelmed with him, and that when they went out, boom, that continued. See, we talked about recently that our job is to go in and meet with God, to get into His presence, but then to carry His presence out. Well, the glory of God on you is a revelation of what God is doing in you. I made that statement before. When glory of God is on us, it reveals God is doing something evidently in us. So when Moses showed up, you know, and he was that light bright glow stick, it was a revelation of his encounter with God. And that God wants to do something. Well, when the priests came out of this and they could not minister, it was a revelation to the people. Whoa, God has blessed us. God is doing something here. Don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on this. And by extension now, because of Jesus, who are the priests that God wants to blow away? Who He wants to rest His presence on right now? We are. We are. We are. See, the priests could not minister because the weight of His presence was on them. That did not mean ministry did not happen. That doesn't mean things stopped. That was the evidence that God is doing something. But ministry still took place, because if you continue reading in Kings chapter 8, it was Solomon at that point who took over the role of high priest and did exactly what Joshua did in the book of Exodus. When they entered into the promised land and were at the foot of Ai, he consecrated the people. If you continue reading, you see Solomon said, wait a minute, okay, people, let's get together. We're going to first bless the Lord, then we're going to bless the people, and I'll let you read that for yourself. But you see, it was Solomon then who continued the ministry to the people, connecting them to God, because they saw what God is doing. Remember, what started off as a formal ceremony of dedication now turns into church. And I don't mean four walls, because the ministry was now in the temple. It filled His temple, and as the priests came out, they could not minister, but God was ministering through Solomon. His presence was still there. It was overflowing. So what does that say to us as His high priest now, or as His priest now, with Jesus as our high priest, when we are in His presence as one? Because they entered in what? Worship. What stirred His presence? Worship. What was in the Ark of the Covenant that they carried? There was a reason why in 1 Kings he says only the tablets, only His commandments, representing only the purity of who God is, of His Word. So when I go to God and I ask Him to cast off all that stuff that is on me, and Lord, I only want to perceive life the way You perceive it. I only want to think about others and see others the way You see them. I only want to know what You know. I don't want to have a thought about anybody, anything, or even myself that You don't have about anyone, anything, or myself. When we go to get to that place in purity, and we enter His gates and are able to enter His gates with thanksgiving and with worship and exaltation, He will show up. And when the purity of Him is dwelling in me and I take it out, the revelation of Him will be released beyond the walls, four walls of a church building. It'll seep into everything that I am. We're not talking about legalism. We're talking about His presence. We're not talking about stuff going on socially in the world. We're talking about, man, let me get with Jesus so much that where I go, His presence is going to minister so much that whether I speak a word or not, something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. Because we're all priests that carry His presence now. We're all asked to go into that Holy of Holies, and we have access in Christ to that sacred, beautiful, wonderful, pure, and holy place. We get to go and sit at the feet of Jesus in His throne room. We get to go and drink from His fountain firsthand. We don't need somebody else to hand me a cup because Jesus Himself has given me that cup. I don't need to go and, Scripture says, confess your sins to one another for accountability and humility's sake. But I go to Christ who purifies these lips. Just like Isaiah in Isaiah 6, he had that vision, that altar that was taken from the altar of God Himself, that coal from the altar of God Himself. I get to be touched by the fire from the altar of God Himself to be purified. That allows me to walk in and be sanctified. Walk in sanctified. Say, here's the thing. Just wait a second. I'm just getting something from the Holy Spirit right now. Wow. I just got an image as I'm sharing this with you. As hearts are rising up in worship, and our worship is what walks us into the Holy of Holies, into that place where Jesus is. What I saw was somebody walking, and as he's walking or she's walking in, literally things are falling off of this person. That in worship, as we worship, as our worship gets louder, and I don't mean screaming louder, but the heart cry gets bolder and more passionate and intimate, more stuff is coming off. Stuff that's hindering us comes off to the point where we get to the presence of God at His feet. We have just been clothed in that white linen that they just talked to, that just mentioned. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. If you want an argument for why we worship, we're not singing songs, and worship isn't limited to songs, okay? It's just God, as He created us, knows that songs reflect an attitude and a heart of worship sometimes more than anything else. Because naturally, as emotional beings, we hear something makes us feel good, we start swaying or dancing or jumping or clapping or laughing. When that happens, man, He breaks through. We have access to this, and there's power in this. We don't need priests anymore to go in for us because we can go in for ourselves. We are His priests. We are His priests, and we are meant to go to host that. We are meant to walk out so overwhelmed by His glory. Because, again, just because the priests couldn't minister does not mean God Himself wasn't ministering. And He did it through Solomon. He will minister. That's why as a church we believe sometimes just in worship itself, people are going to be healed. Brokenhearted are going to be filled with love and hope. Spirits are going to be lifted. You don't need a sermon sometimes. What we need is the presence of God and for us to be willing to go in. Man, Ask God right now the question, Lord, what do you expect from me? I feel like I'm here just listening to the Holy Spirit. What I'm hearing is, we're not expecting more from Him. Holy Spirit, come right now. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Help us that not just when we come together Sunday mornings or at a home group or at some kind of church-organized function, but wherever we are in you, with you, that our expectation of what, who you are and what you want to do will rise right now. There are no four walls that limit us, Holy Spirit. Do you expect God to break you from addictions, that He can do it? Just got that right now, based on what He revealed wants to do earlier. Do you expect God to heal your family right now? Relationships? Do you expect God to break through financially? We want Him to, but do you expect Him to? Expectations rise as we draw near to Him. Let our hearts rise up, Holy Spirit, right now, Father. Just go to that place. God's doing some stuff right now. I don't want to get in the way of that right now. Lord, more. More. Raise our expectations. Raise our expectations, Lord. More. Do you have something? More. More, Lord. Raise our expectation, Father.
You release it. Yeah, why don't you do it since you have it? Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just a people that are teachable. And when the Holy Spirit says something to us, we just want to come into agreement with that. So when Pastor Mike got the vision of people bringing their hearts up, and then things coming off, I feel like that's what God wants us to walk out right now. Whoever feels stirred, this isn't a, you know, you don't have to come, but if your heart was stirred, and for me, I was like, freedom! You know, he said that vision, and I wanted to scream freedom like a crazy person in the back, because I know when you don't have freedom, you'll do anything to get it. You will do anything to get it. And if that's you right now, I want to invite you to come up. Mike's going to anoint you with oil, and we're just going to do it in faith. That as you come and you bring your heart to God, you don't have to wait for me to say come anymore. If you're stirred, you can come.
Yeah.
When you bring your heart, He's going to anoint you with oil. But more than that, God's removing things off of you in the spirit realm. You're worthy. You're worthy. He calls you. He says you're loved. He says you're worthy. So if that's you, we're just being obedient with the Lord. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit earlier, when I saw that the bottle of oil where we put it up on that windowsill, said, put it on the altar. I'm going to use it today. Yeah. And this is why.
Yeah.
So just go to that place of worship right now. Holy Spirit, minister. And as you feel led, as you feel moved, again, that as hearts of worship are continuing, come on up. I just want to anoint you and release you to Him. Whatever happens, happens at that point. Can I have Danny and Bill? Can you come on up just in case somebody... Just anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus. Yes, you can go. Bless you. Yes, yes. In Jesus' name is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Just anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Just release freedom. Freedom, freedom. Anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just release freedom right now. Release freedom right now in Jesus' name. Just catch you just in case. Yes. Just anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit right now. Just release freedom in Jesus' name. Heart of worship.